the Dominican or the Democratic Republic of Congo. We've been to Congo. We sent a team a few years ago. I've been there. And if Africa has a Wild West, in my opinion, the Congo is the Wild West. It's lawless. Right now, there are genocidal things happening in the nation. There's horror that's going on there. But there are people who need Jesus. And we are blessed to have partners that are willing to say, I'll go there. I'll go. And Mike and Carrie have a unique ministry called especially to the children. And that touches my heart because that's how you change a generation. That's how you change a nation. Get the children, change the country. And Mike and Carrie are working to do that. So we are blessed to have them as our guests this morning. Would you give Mike and Carrie Ness a round of applause as they come and minister the word today? Bless you, bro. Appreciate you, man.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Abundant Life. It's great to be here. We just love being at this church because we know it is a church that has a heart for God's mission, not just right here where you're at, but around the world. And it's exciting to be a part of that. Thank you for making us your partners in the Congo. And we are Mike and Carrie Ness. My wife's here with me this morning as well. Pop that picture up just so that you'll recognize her later. You can just call us Mr. and Mrs. June from now on. As in the month of June. I think that sounds kind of cool. We are in the DRC. We call it just the Congo. There are two Congos, but it's a lot easier than that whole Democratic Republic thing. Have been there for only 3 years. Before that, we were in the country of Tanzania in East Africa, where you guys, some of you will be heading. I'm jealous, actually. Would love to come and hang out with you in Haydn. But I don't think I can swing it this time around. But that's where we were first introduced to your church and to your pastor. And since that time, it's just been a great relationship that we've had with Abundant Life. Thanks, Pastor Greg and missions team, for the invitation to be here during your month of missions. Also, because we've worked with kids now for over 20 years in Africa, recently we were asked to be a part of a leadership team for a ministry called Africa's Children. And that ministry is all about supporting, empowering, and resourcing churches and missionaries to reach Africa's next generation. And I want to share a little bit about that ministry with you this morning, and let's just start that out by watching a video together.
Africa is plagued by problems: wars, disease, corruption, starvation, and children are the most vulnerable. Imagine how different Africa might look if the next generation was filled with business people, politicians, police, teachers, mothers and fathers who truly follow Jesus with all their heart because someone had introduced them to Jesus when they were young. We can shape the future if we reach the next generation today. There are over 400 million children in Africa. Imagine if every church in every country were to reach out to every child in its community right now. Africa's Children believes now is the time to reach Africa's next generation. That's why the Africa's Children Now initiative was formed, to harness the potential of the African church to reach children. It's all about everyone doing something in order to see a huge change. Through empowering, caring, equipping, and reaching, we want to create an opportunity for every child to experience the love of Christ and choose to follow Him. Africa's church is on the rise and growing faster than anywhere in the world, but we need your help to multiply these efforts. We need people who will pray. We need churches that will partner. We need people who will come. We can make a difference if we work together. Partner with us. We can't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow may be too late. Now is the time to reach Africa's next generation. Visit africaschildrennow.org for more information on how you can get started.
We truly do believe that now is the time to reach Africa's next generation, and that we must do something today. But I'd be willing to bet that you've probably heard that same kind of language used about a lot of things, right? In fact, we live in a culture and a society where we're bombarded by messages of urgency. Just think about some of the phrases that you've heard advertisers alone use to create urgency and to get us to act on something or to buy something. How many times have you heard phrases like this? Time's running out. Last chance. Don't miss out. Limited time only. Up in our area, we're right now for the next 6 months, we're located in the Northwest, and there was some kind of big spa sale going on. And they actually said this on TV: once in a lifetime chance to save 40 to 80% on us. I mean, I was motivated. I'm like, man, once in a lifetime, I better get on this. I just couldn't figure out how I was going to get that thing in my suitcase and back to Congo. So in the end, we didn't go for it. But this is the kind of thing that people tell us, right? You've got to do this now. In fact, I learned that urgency language is a thing. And you can be trained in urgency language, and evidently salespeople are taught about this a lot. How to talk and use phrases and terms that will get people to think that they must act now and get on board. You hear these kinds of things in government, with nonprofit, you know, sometimes even in church you hear these kinds of things, you know, better sign up today, that kind of thing. Even just the whole idea of now is the time. I thought, man, that's a pretty unique kind of catchphrase. Well, evidently not. Just Google that one. Here's a few things you might find. Did you know that now is the time to visit Uzbekistan? Who knew? I'm not exactly even sure where Uzbekistan is. I mean, I know it's in the general Stan area of the world. And I certainly don't know why I have to go there. But evidently, now is the time to do it. Elon Musk made this statement a few years ago. Now is the time to colonize Mars. Did anybody get in on that sign-up list? I'm not sure if we're too late. I mean, you know, if we really want to, can we still get on board with that? But evidently now is the time. Here's one that, you know, as we get older, we find that there are things that don't work quite as well. And sitting for me is kind of painful sometimes. And so I came across an advertisement that said, now's the time to buy a standing desk. Well, you know, sometimes urgency language works. Guess what? I have a standing desk. It's helped a lot. But, you get the idea. We're bombarded, aren't we? Day in and day out with this idea that this is urgent. If you don't do this now, you're either missing out or you're on the wrong page. Something's wrong if you don't do this right away. And here's the thing about that. The question I want us to ask this morning is, in a world where everything is urgent, how do we know what truly is urgent? Or maybe another way to put that would be this way. God, help us to be discerning so that we would hear your voice in amongst all these voices that bombard us, to know what you truly think is urgent, and help us to be obedient and to follow after that. Let me just kind of give you a picture of where we want to head this morning. That's kind of what we want to talk about. In fact, I'll just make a confession. Sometimes before I come to a church to visit, I do some online stalking. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? I'm talking about churches. I stalk the church. Leave it up to a missionary, you know, to use language that isn't culturally acceptable. But anyways, all that to say, I found out that one of the things that you guys feel is important is, in your identity, is that you hear or listen to and obey the Holy Spirit. And that's really what I want to challenge you with this morning, is just asking God again to help you in your life. Lord, help me to discern your voice, to really know what you're saying, to really know what's urgent in your eyes, and then help me to be obedient to that. Now, we're going to do that in the context of missions. We're going to do that in the context of children's ministries and talk a little bit about that. And I want you to think about what God might be asking you to do, what God might be saying is urgent for you in the context of global mission, for sure, because this is Missions Month, right? But also just be thinking about, God, what is it that you're talking to me about in my life, about those things that are urgent and important for me right now? So let me just do it this way. If I could just give you a few reasons this morning that we believe now is the time to reach Africa's next generation. Why is that so urgent? One reason that we believe now is the time to reach Africa's next generation is because children are especially open to the things of God. Statistics have shown, at least here in the United States, that most people who accept Christ do so between the ages of 4 and 14. And maybe you're familiar with that statistic. And the church has used that for many years to talk about the importance of ministry to children. But it's interesting that it's not just the church that recognizes the openness of children. In fact, developmental psychologists will tell you that by the age of 10, most children have their basic value system firmly in place. And after that age, changes are difficult to obtain. Here's another quote that puts it this way. Values are acquired in one's early youth, mainly in the family and in the neighborhood, and later at school. And by the time a child is 10 years old, most of their basic values have been programmed into their minds. Now, that could be a little bit scary if you think about it too much, quite honestly. I mean, that means does that mean if we're over 11 years old, it's too late? Sorry, you know, it's just this is the way you are. Obviously not. We know that God can change, bring change into our lives at any age. But it does certainly point to the fact that there is a certain urgency to teaching and training children while they're young, because that's the best time to instill godly values and principles into their lives. I tell you, Pastor Greg, I was excited this morning just to see you honoring somebody that's worked in children's ministries and to hear what you're doing in children's ministries. I mean, right on. Amen. That, to me, that's where it's at. Now, I realize there are other important things that God has called the church to do. But if I'm doing my job good this morning, at least for a few minutes, you might just think that children's ministry is the only thing out there. Because, I mean, that's what God's put on our heart. That's what we're passionate about. But, you know, this may be a new revelation, this whole idea of the importance of training kids to secular psychology. But God, as the creator of all things, has known about this since the beginning of time. And that's why throughout Scripture, you'll find over and over again, he instructs us to teach and to train our children, the next generation and generations, plural. In fact, just in the book of Deuteronomy, if you want to just sometime do a search for children in Deuteronomy and see how many times in that book alone it talks about teaching and training kids. Let me just share one verse from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." And here's one thing that we can be fairly certain that is urgent in the eyes of God, that now is the time to teach and to train our children about him. I'm thankful that God can change the heart and minds of people no matter what their age, aren't you? There's a saying in Swahili, that's the language of Tanzania. We lived there long enough to learn some of that. It says, "Kunja samaki angali mbichi," which means fold the fish while it's still fresh. That makes a lot of sense, right? But one way that they preserve fish there is to dry it in the sun. And there's certain fish, for whatever reason, they dry it in a U-shape. But if you want it dried in a U-shape, you got to get ahead of the game and you've got to fold that fish while it's still fresh. The idea being there's some things you just got to do while the time is ripe. Now, I'm thankful we serve a miracle-working God who can straighten, bend, change the crustiest, stinkiest amongst us, if I can use that parallel. Amen? And he continues to change us. But here's the counsel that he gives us. Here's what he's trying to tell us in verses like this in Deuteronomy. Is that there is a time in the development of children where they are especially open to having their worldview shaped and molded. And we must be diligent about teaching and training our kids, our children, the things of God while they're young, because that's the best time for them to grasp those things. And that obviously starts with parents in the home, but I think it's also a mandate to us as a church to do everything we can to reach kids while they're young. You know, because of this urgency in our ministry, we place a heavy emphasis on training children's workers from local churches to reach kids. And back in June of last year, we were able to hold a week-long training event for children's ministries in the city of Kisangani in north central Congo. And it was exciting for us for a number of reasons, but one was not only did we have 70 participants, pastors, volunteers from churches around the area, but 20 of those were Bible college students, so either current pastors or future pastors that were taking that course for credit. And one of the things that was especially exciting to me was that we were able to leave curriculum with them to teach their kids, because most churches don't have any curriculum in their language that they can use to teach kids. The other thing is that book right there that you see on the screen is a training manual, how to do children's ministries in an African context at your church. All the participants got one of those. in French that they could use as a reference. Now, that's exciting stuff to me. I know that's kind of geeky to some people. Can you back up to that? There's a great, exciting picture here. Now, isn't that an exciting picture there? A middle-aged white guy standing up in the middle of the room. I know what you're thinking, but I'm pointing this out for a very specific reason. This whole idea of teaching and training, quite honestly, materials, curriculum, it doesn't always capture our heart in the way that some other needs do, right? Sometimes it's hard to get excited about that. But I want to try to help you understand something important this morning, that training translates into transformed lives. Because when people are trained and equipped to reach kids, lives will be transformed. Let me just give you one quick example of one way that that's happening. Because of our work with Africa's children, we get to help out in other countries sometimes. And one of those countries is the country of Gabon in Central Africa. And I've been able to go there a couple of times to help with training. That church is growing there. They face many obstacles, like churches everywhere do. But one of the ones that they face in particular has to do with witchcraft. Because the whole idea of spirit worship, ancestral worship, is very ingrained into that culture. And along with that is sometimes associated things like sorcery and things like that. And so it's very common for people to practice that, even some of those that call themselves Christians. In fact, there was a young girl by the name of Susanna who was introduced to this stuff by her grandmother, which isn't uncommon because those that believe strongly in that want to pass that on to the next generation. Unfortunately for Susanna, because she was exposed to this kind of demonic activity, she experienced restless nights, oftentimes fits of rage and fits of anger at different points of time. Just a lot of things that were really disturbing in her life. But praise God, at about the age of 12, Susanna came to a local church where she heard the gospel, gave her heart to Jesus, and was saved and delivered from all that activity. And now that she's been set free, she regularly attends church and she loves to sing. And so she's a part of the kids choir in that church. And there's churches like Susanna's that are ready to meet the needs of children. But oftentimes they lack the training. They lack the materials that they need to really do that effectively. And training tools give volunteers what they need to better reach children in their communities. Training translates into transformed lives. Another reason that we believe now is the time to reach Africa's next generation is because the church in Africa is positioned and ready to reach children like never before. There are many places in Africa that are still very unreached, but in other parts of the continent, the church is growing faster than anywhere else in the world. And it's exciting to see that growing, emerging church grasp the importance of children's ministries and the potential in children's ministries. Perhaps one of the best known verses about the importance of children comes from Jesus himself in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 14. And there Jesus says this. It says that people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Now, I'm a kids guy, so I like short, simple words. But I'm pretty sure that indignant means he was really mad. He wasn't happy. Jesus is like, this is not right. And he said, when Jesus saw this, he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. What a very clear command to the church. To be involved in ministry to kids, to be involved in meeting the needs of children. Jesus wasn't satisfied just to push the kids off to the side or to make them wait. In fact, think about that just for a moment. He's in the middle of some pretty important stuff. He's teaching and preaching to the adults about the kingdom of God. He's modeling to his disciples how to do ministry. And yet in the middle of that, he's willing to say, you know what? Time out. These kids have needs and their needs are urgent. And I'm going to take the time to bless them, and we can pick up where we left off with the adults later. I think what a picture to us as the church, to the importance that we need to put upon reaching the next generation. One of the things that we get to do in Africa is simply be a voice to the African church, advocating for the importance of ministry to children. I had the opportunity to do that one time in a chapel service in one of our Bible schools there in Kinshasa. And, you know, in that kind of setting, you get to go in and preach for 20 minutes and then you're gone and they go back and to class and you're off to doing your things. You never quite know. Did you really connect? Did anybody hear anything or get anything out of that? But it's interesting, just before we came back, this was about 2 years after that, just before we came back to the States, one of those former Bible school students who was at that chapel came to visit us. And in our conversation, he said just a very simple thing to me. I don't know if he meant it as a testimony, but it certainly was a testimony to our hearts. He said, you know, when I heard you speak in chapel about the importance of ministry to children, I thought, if there's a missionary that would come specifically to reach children, then maybe I should be more concerned about children's ministries at my church. Pastor Jim is now graduated from school, and he's planted a church in the city of Kinshasa, and he has regular children's ministries every week at that church that he's planted. And sometimes we may not be the ones that are hands-on with kids. I know that for some of you just scares you, totally freaks you out. Those are the announcements in the bulletin that you skip over right away, you know, anything to do with kids. That's okay. I know that not everybody's cut out for that. But sometimes just using your voice of influence, the opportunities that you have, maybe your ability and capacity to support those ministries might be what God is calling you to do in order to reach the next generation. But now is the time, friends, for churches to reach out to kids in their communities and to make the most of every opportunity we have to reach and disciple children. Let me just give you one final reason this morning why we believe that now is the time to reach Africa's next generation. It's because kids need to hear about the saving message of Jesus. Now is the time for kids to be saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the Apostle Paul makes an appeal for people to be reconciled to God. That just simply means to be in right relationship with Him. And he expresses the urgency of that by saying this: I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And really, every day is a great day to be reconciled with God. Wouldn't you agree? Why wait? Why not make things right with God as soon as possible? And we talk about that being urgent because we don't know what the future holds for us, right? Maybe you've heard that. You don't know what tomorrow may bring, so you better get right with God today. But it's also urgent because we don't want to waste another day without God in our lives. Now's the time to get right with Him. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, it's never too late to get right with God, and how true that is. But when I think about children's ministries, I think of that in a little bit different way. I think it's never too early to get right with God. There was a famous preacher that once said, a man who gets saved at the age of 60 is a soul saved, and praise God for that. A soul saved with perhaps 10 years plus or minus left to serve the Lord. He said, but a child who gets saved at the age of 10 is a soul saved. No difference there. But a soul saved with perhaps 70 years or more left to serve the Lord. Salvation is urgent not just because of eternity, but because we miss so much in this life when we live it apart from God and His plan for us. And because of our belief in that, we want to make sure that everything we do and are involved in points people to Jesus. Let me tell you one last story this morning. It comes from the country of Senegal. It's about a young girl by the name of Mariam. And Senegal is it's in West Africa. It's 90%+ Muslim. And the further north you get, the higher that percentage goes. And there's some missionary colleagues of ours that have started some schools, and one in particular in a northern city, to meet the educational needs of that community. And Mariam's father was hired on as the guard at that school. And part of his package, so to speak, was that his kids would get to go there free. Mariam started as one of only 9 students in that first intake. And she was a little bit taller than the rest of the kids because she was older and had not started school when she was supposed to. And the other thing, because of her situation, her family situation, she was malnourished. And so oftentimes she would come to school and she'd be tired, she'd be weak, she couldn't pay attention to her studies. And the director of that school is a Senegalese Christian man from the south of the country who's moved there specifically to reach that community. And he noticed what was going on, and so after classes, he began bringing Mariam home where he and his wife would fix her a meal and help her with her studies. And just with that little extra touch of love, her life just began to change. In fact, by the end of that first year, there was a radical transformation in how well she was doing in life and in school. Her parents noticed it, family members noticed it, even neighbors noticed it. In fact, the testimony of Mariam's life encouraged some other parents who quite honestly were a little bit reluctant to send their kids to an openly Christian school to do so. And in 2 years' time, that school went from having 9 students to having 150 students, and it continues to grow today. And in Africa's children, we've had a small part, the privilege of playing a small part in helping to raise funds so that they can add classrooms to keep up with the growing demand. People being touched by the power of the love of Jesus Christ. That's really what it's all about. And it's so exciting to see things like that in places like the school that Mariam attends. In fact, in Africa, there are over 860 unreached people groups that have been identified. And in these UPGs, as they're called, one thing that's consistent throughout is that nearly half of them are children. And we oftentimes struggle with the question, how do you reach out to kids in these kinds of situations with the love of Jesus Christ in a way that's appropriate, in a way that doesn't abuse the trust of parents and families and communities? And schools like this one is one way that has been very successful. It allows people to demonstrate the compassion and concern for children and communities by meeting a need. And it provides those Christian teachers an opportunity to do that. And it also gives them a platform in which to be in that community and to demonstrate the love of Christ to parents and to community leaders day in and day out. Now's the time to tell people about Jesus. Amen. So is it really urgent, this whole thing, reaching the next generation? We certainly believe that it is. We really feel like it's one of those things that we have to act on now. But like I said, or maybe I don't know if I mentioned this morning, I realize that your response to this urgent need is going to be different than Mike and Carrie's response, because God has called us to that in a different way that he's called you. But I want you to think this morning and allow the Lord to speak to you about how he might be calling you to respond not only to this need, but to other needs around the world. And it may be that God's calling you to pray. If you're one of those that God's nudging you and saying, you know, you need to be praying for these kinds of needs. I want to just mention a couple of things that might help you. There's a little booklet out on a table out in the under the awnings there. It's a prayer guide. 12 stories about 12 different countries and ways that you can pray thoughtfully for the children in those countries. If you are a Facebook type person, you can join a Facebook group where you get needs sent to you once a week that are current needs about children in Africa. And you can find out more information by picking up one of these cards out there. But prayer makes a difference. The power of prayer is something that we just don't understand, and it's so amazing. And we can be a part of what God is doing around the world through prayer. Pastors talked to you about the whole idea of importance of giving. What an awesome goal that 100% of your congregation would do something. Because really, that's all that God asks of us. He doesn't ask us to do everything, because we can't. But he asks us to do something. And let me just encourage you with this thought here. This is an urgent thing because God's mission is urgent and God's mission is global. And it may be that God might even be calling some of you to actually go. You know, God calls people from churches just like this to go, whether it's short term for a summer trip. Sometimes it turns into something longer, but be open to what God might be saying to your heart in that way. Can I just pray with you as I kind of come to a close this morning with these thoughts? Let's just ask the Lord to help us to discern once again what His voice is saying to us, what He is saying is urgent to us in light of this whole thing of global mission, but also in light of our life right here, right now, and what God is calling you to do today. Can we just do that? Father God, we thank You again for the fact that You're always speaking into our lives. Lord, You're always speaking, encouraging, nudging, calling us, Lord, to just draw closer to You. And in that, Lord God, there's always an element of service. There's always an element of reaching out to others. And Lord, we do live in a world that is full of voices telling us what is urgent. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us this morning to discern that voice of the Holy Spirit, Your voice. And not only hear what You're telling us, Lord, but take that next step and to be obedient in doing something about it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Pastor Greg.
Thank you. It's no doubt that God has called us to go out and bring in the harvest. That's His great command. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, if God has told us to do that, we're smart people. If God has called us to go and bring in the harvest, it makes sense that we would go and bring in the harvest where it is most plentiful. And what Mike said this morning is absolutely true. The best place to harvest, the most fruitful harvest, is with children. But you have to have a long-term vision of the kingdom. Short-sightedness of the kingdom won't lead you there. Because children's ministry isn't always the most cool ministry. Or the most awe-inspiring ministry. Even for the African people. I'll never forget being in the Congo. We brought a team there. Jason was on that team, and John and Jim and a few others were on that team. And at the end of the week, the AG leadership gathered us together, and what I knew was a come to fund us moment. And you expect those things, and it was okay. But they sat us down, and because of course everybody who lives in America is a multi-millionaire in their eyes, and so they saw us as their money fountain that we were just going to pour out money. And they sat us down and they said, here's our vision. We want you to help us buy radio towers and TV broadcasting equipment. And we're going to reach the area of the Congo and we want you to help us do that. And I looked at them and I knew their heart. I wasn't upset about that request. But I said, guys, you're going about it the wrong way. All around us as we were meeting were all these kids running around. Said, if you really want to reach the Congo, focus on these kids. Start children's ministries. Start youth ministries. And their faces got disappointed and downcast. It's as if I just took their vision and just shredded it and tossed it aside. But that's how you do it. That was 10 years ago, and I don't really know what's happening in the churches there. I'm waiting to get a good report. But doesn't it make sense? As I look out at this room and I glance over and I see Becky DeSagan. I think she was 6 when Sandra and I arrived. I look around and I see many others. We honored Melissa today. Her kids were not born when she arrived. And now they're rising up to be coming young leaders. It just takes a moment and you blink and go, wow, look at them. They were little. Now they're big. They were toddling around. Now they're leading. I sat in a seminar with one of the staff of Ray Johnston's ministry up in Granite Bay area, a church of about 15,000 people. And the staff member said this: if you want to calculate church health, focus on 4th to 7th grade. How are they doing? Are there a lot of them? And are they excited for Jesus? Because that's the metric for health for your church. Because that's the next gen. And you got to focus on the next gen. I was so thankful to hear that because that's what we're trying to do. We didn't this morning, but we usually have a child open up the service. Why do we do that? We want to do that so the kids understand that this is their place too, and they have a part of ministry. The children's ministers and the youth ministers are training kids to be leaders in their programs. It's important. So I'm so glad we had this component in our missions emphasis month to focus on the kids. If we fund anything, we need to fund this. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads, and I want to pray a blessing on Mike and Carrie, and that God would just use them to change the attitudes and the hearts and minds in a continent. Oh, it's a big continent and just a few people. That's okay. God changed the world with 12. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this message. I know this for a fact, that during Mike's presentation, not because he wasn't a great presenter, but because of the subject matter, that some people's minds started to wander. Because we do sometimes push aside the children. That they run around and they make messes and they make noise and they don't sit still. We tell them to grow up. We tell them to sit down and be quiet, and we need to train them. But God, we forget how fast time goes. Father, if we miss this opportunity, we miss potentially a generation. And the devil is shrewd. He's more shrewd than we are at times with bringing the ungodliness of demonic teaching into the earliest of grades in our school system. God, I pray for Mike and Carrie and ask you in Jesus' name to anoint them, empower them, strengthen them, give them vision. God, give them a word, give them your supernatural power that they might gain the attention of those who don't see the potential here and the kingdom, the absolute kingdom necessity for the gospel going forward is to have the next generation prepared. Forgive us, Lord, when we've overlooked this. And I thank you that we are a church who has not overlooked it. But give us more passion, more desire, more resources to reach more kids. There's something like 12,000 high schoolers within 2 square miles of this place. And I don't know how many middle schoolers and elementary schoolers. Help us, God, not to miss it. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In your hands are your pledge cards. Hopefully you filled them out. If you have not yet filled them out, do it right now. Would you? Take the card out, fill it out right now, and the ushers are prepared to serve us in just a moment or two. I'll give you a few seconds to fill it out. What you do with this is you fill out the large portion, the perforated part. You fold it, you tear it off, keep that for yourself. And this pledge is good for March of 2019 through February of 2020. So our calendar's a little funny with that, but it's 12 months. So when you mark a pledge here, if it says a monthly faith pledge, you're making that pledge for 12 successive months until next year. If you do a weekly or you know whatever you do, just you get it, right? You can calculate that out. God is not constrained. If he can take loaves and fish and multiply them to feed thousands, he can take the little or the great that you have to offer or that you feel your faith is strong enough to offer and do great things with it. Maybe this is the year when 100% of our people will do something. The pastor, I can't do very much. God doesn't ask for very much. He asks that you do something. Some of us do what's comfortable. Comfortable doesn't take faith. God is asking for a faith step, and you just watch what God will do when you take a faith step. I'm going to pray one more time. Ask the Lord to just bless the pledges that we make today. If you're not yet ready to make a pledge, you're still kind of working it through in your mind, then it's okay. We have 2 more weeks after today. Okay? So if you're not ready, that's all right. But if you are ready, you feel secure, then today's the day. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the opportunity to make a faith pledge today. God, we want to reach people around the world. We want to support people like Mike and Carrie Ness who get it. They understand the long-term vision of the church. And they understand that the harvest is richest at the younger ages. Lord, you said we were going to go out and not catch fish, but catch men. I know if I'm fishing, I want to fish where the fish are biting. And it's the children that will respond. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity right now to make a faith pledge. I pray, Lord, that you touch every heart, not to do what is comfortable, but to do what our faith would allow us to do. I give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Ushers, come forward, would you? They're going to serve you as Pastor Sean leads us in some closing music. And then we'll go on to serve the Lord this week. Are you caught up with your Bible reading? Okay, come on. It's Bible First Lifestyle Year. Let's keep up. Okay? Keep diligent every day. And you'll be amazed at how God will grow your life as you stay in His Word. Pastor Sean.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.